Senate Committee on Labor, Consumer, and Business Affairs, Thursday, April 19, 1979, 7 p.m., Hearing Room A, Work Session on Workers' Compensation Bill, B. Engross, Senate Bill 48, A. Engross, Senate Bill 304, A. Engross, Senate Bill 379, A. Engross, Senate Bill 478, B. Engross, Senate Bill 521, Senate Bill 49, Retroactive Reserve Assessment, Senate Bill 476, Coverage to Independent Contractors and Partners.
First, it's away.
And the first bill we're going to consider is Senate Bill 304. And I wonder if Dr. Carruthers is he here and Cliff Allison, if they would come up. Do you have some amendments to this bill, Doctor, relating to penalties? Or did we take...
Yeah, A. Engross.
Oh, A. Engross. Okay. We did, yeah, that was taken out of that. It's in 48 now.
What bill are we on?
304.
A. Engross.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
I don't want to interrupt you if you're...
Well, go ahead.
I had a question on the offset. I need to understand that just a little better, and I wonder if we have someone that could explain this.
Cliff, do you want to come up and explain that? That's in
304.
Three
I know I've heard it before, but I'm...
What about this letter? Did you see a copy of the letter from Larry Young at the Workers' Compensation Department? Larry, you're here. And would you explain that letter, too,
are you talking,
at the same time?
Senator, about the offset that is... presently in the law under
209. No,
about under the bill.
The retirement, the one after age 62.
I want to know how it affects a workman, and just give me an example of what happens under that section.
Mr. Young,
okay.
If I may, I'd like to just...
Yeah, it would help. Anything will help to explain.
Okay, first, the Social Security Administration... Our law wasn't in effect. It takes an offset. They have...
Are you speaking about disability now, Larry? Under disability only.
Disability only.
Right. That's in the law. Is
just
in effect now.
Give me an example of a workman and you know, okay, an injury, and then what the federal government does.
Right. Okay. Let's say a worker is injured, determined to be permanently total disabled, and he has a permanent total disability award, $700. Now, on the federal side, without looking at the state side, they have two figures they work from. The average current earnings is the basis of what his benefits are. So they have about five ways they figure, but usually they take the last year's earnings, wages, and divide that by 12 months, and that becomes his average current earnings figure. They take 80% of that. So let's say his average monthly current earnings was $1,000, and they call it average current earnings, they figure APE, and they talk about 80% of ACE. So if he was earning $1,000 the year before he was determined currently told by SSA, his ACE would be $800. Now, based upon that, they determine what his primary insurance amount is going to be to him as the injured worker. And I'm just going to have to throw in a figure here. So that primary insurance amount is referred to as a PIA. And that's $400. Now, when they figure the offset, they say, okay, this is the maximum amount he can receive. So they put down $800. That's the maximum amount he can receive. He's receiving from the state of Oregon $700. We take that away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the amount they pay.
That's under this bill, 304.
No,
in gross.
That's
no,
prior.
Explain, that's how the federal does it.
On disability.
They say that his benefits is $100, his offset is $700. Now, under the state side, and this ties into our Social Security offset program, we do the same thing. We just reverse it though. We say that, and he's still receiving, that worker's receiving $800 this way. He's receiving $100 from SSA, and receiving $700 for workers' compensation. Now that's $800. On this side, we say, okay, we take the offset amount and say, we're going to pay $100 on the state side. The Social Security Administration removes their offset and they pay him $700. And he's still receiving $800. Now, basically, what this does is continue that. This is disability benefit. And this 304 basically says we're going to continue this when he reaches age 62. The Social Security Administration discontinues their offset program at age 62 because their offset program is to make the worker or give the worker incentive to return to some type of work. So when he reaches age 62, they say he's in retirement anyway. He can go. He's eligible for retirement benefits. So they just continue. What 304 says, we're going to continue the offset for these people who run disability benefits, and if not,
what, Larry, just a minute. They discontinue, but they pay him the full benefit. The Social Security is entitled to full retirement at age 62. Right. What he would receive.
When they compute these things for disability benefits, they compute it the same as if he was retired at age 65. So when they remove this offset at age 65, at age 62, they don't compute it. They just continue paying in that amount, except they take the amount from a different fund. They have two funds, a disability fund and a retirement fund. And they just switch the fund, switch the account to a different fund. So the computation won't change in that respect. And what 304 does, it says we'll continue this, and then at the same time, if a worker is not eligible, the offset was not being taken by the state under the permanent total disability offset at age 62, we'll compute it the same way and take the offset.
But Larry, could you explain to him that after age 62, they would be getting less than if we did have this offset? They'd be getting more money if we didn't provide this offset that is in 304.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They would receive more money. The total money from Social Security and the state workers' comp, from workers' comp, they'd receive more money, the injured worker, than he would with the offset under 304. He receives the same when he's injured under disability, but he'd receive less than he would normally receive if 304 were to pass.
Mr. Chairman, how much would he get after he's 62?
After age 62, he would receive the 400 here plus the 700 from the state side, so he'd be receiving $1,100.
Or $300 and more.
And we're not tampering with that.
Yes.
That's going to happen after
304. We're tampering with it.
304. We're tampering with it.
304. You continue the offset, so we wouldn't be tampering with it.
Okay. Words, what happens with 304 then?
At age 65, we're getting $1,100 a month.
We continue the offset amount.
65 or 62.
And he still receives the $800.
He'll get the $800 all the way through.
But he normally would receive $1,100.
Yeah. Right.
The way this bill is written, it says retirement benefits. It's questionable. My understanding, we proposed an amendment, if you're going to go this way, that we would continue it at age 62. See, what we're saying now, there's no, after age 62, there's no offset. So he gets his full Social Security benefits and his full workers' compensation benefits.
So he gets $1,100 a month if the bill
right.
doesn't
no.
pass. He
no.
gets continues to get $800 as he's been getting. If the bill does pass.
That's correct. There'll be, in fact, that's correct. Because Social Security has not taken offset after age 62.
But the guy has paid into Social Security all his life. Does he deserve that amount of money? That's the question.
But that's for you to decide.
And that's the other question, though, is Social Security, is a workman's comp a retirement program? Because he's receiving this, the workman's comp, and should he... The other side of the story. Now, it depends on what your philosophy is. And you might explain that to him, Larry. The other side of the coin. You know, for example, he's saying they're getting less. But what we're doing is making workman's comp a retirement program, and should he receive any more than he would normally receive?
But, Mr. Chairman, if he's been on workers' comp for a long time, he probably doesn't have a chance at building any other retirement program, does he?
This is the maximum he would receive if he were if he would have worked all those years, as I understand.
There is one case where he would get
retirement, he'll have is for retirement will be Social Security, probably.
I think, would you explain that? I think, as I understood you, that he would receive the same amount if he's injured at age, say, 50, permanently and totally disabled. He'd receive the same amount as if he worked to the age 65 in Social Security.
They compute it the same way.
Yeah.
The benefit amount that SSA computes is the same as if he were 65. Okay. Except they use whatever his ACE was prior to the time he was.
Now, when do they do that? All the way along?
Pardon me, sir?
When do they do that?
When they determine he's disabled, they make the computation at that time based upon his earnings, prior earnings up to that period.
Senator Wingard,
are we talking about a typical situation here at $800 and $1,100, or is that sort of high?
That's our average. On an average, we took of the sample claims we had, the PIA average was 242, but that was for injuries back. A lot of those were back in 1965. This is pretty close to what is now being received. Depending on the date of injury for the permanent total disabled, but it's 769, quite a few of them run around there. Could be more.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
What was the problem we had now with the Social Security Administration and this other offset thing we did last time? Somehow or other, a lot of people were awfully unhappy about it.
Right.
And that's what happened.
Senate Bill 371 basically taking care of that problem. You need this benefit information before you can make the computation, or before you have the offset figure to use. We asked for the information back in January 1978 and did not get most of it until August and September of 78, which created 2 months of overpayment, and we are still receiving information that we asked back for in January 1978. Now information.
You get the idea the federal government doesn't like to cooperate in this, huh?
I don't know if it's a matter of cooperation, it's just the volume that isn't going to respond.
They like the deal better when they were getting the offset benefit.
Also tell them that they hadn't been figuring in the cost of living increases that these guys had been receiving for a number of years.
They didn't figure in. A lot of times this information, what they were receiving, was in to them, but had not been put in the system. That created an overpayment on their side. Our side was a problem. We just didn't get information timely. And the law was affected 7-1, so we had to backdate the orders 7-1-78.
And how did this affect the people out there getting these payments? What happened to them? Okay. Did they get less?
The situation is
that
Social Security Administration was not taking a certain amount of offset. They didn't have the earnings that the worker was receiving from the state.
I don't know what you're doing.
Or and if they had it, they didn't continue to put it into the system. And when they started to pull out the information to send to us, and this is only a...
Okay, but my question was, what happened to the person? Did he get less money?
He got less money because he was being overpaid on the federal side.
He was getting them, had to pay back to the federal government.
He got less money, but his entitlements were not reduced.
They would have eventually probably found it, and then he would have been just in the same situation. But he never got less entitlements. He's never gotten less entitlements.
You don't think that'll happen again?
It's going to happen on the situation where, and it happens quite frequently, they take everything. They offset TTD benefits. Now, TTD benefits, he may be receiving that, and it stays after age 63. And TTD benefits is $860 or something based on itself. Well, when they do this, when we compute the offset, we're going to be computing the offset against the and he's going to be getting $700 where he was getting $860 before. So the difference would be between that about right there.
I know something as well.
He's going to get that much less?
Yeah, he'd get that much less. There's quite a few other situations.
Also, if you'd explain that this doesn't apply to those that are on retirement now, Larry.
Well, didn't we hear that last time, too? It wasn't going to affect anybody adversely who was already getting theirs. Just going to apply to new cases, and somehow or other did affect a lot of people adversely. Isn't that what we heard?
Not on the prior... You might have heard it, but we didn't say that because...
I remember working on the subcommittees with those bills, and it seems to me that was an assurance I got as we worked on those bills. That wasn't going to hurt anybody.
This was actually true. However, when this went through, the federal government found that they weren't offsetting properly against our benefits. We were increasing our benefits.
So, but it did.
Because with the cost of living or the average weekly wage going up, and our it was tied to the average weekly wage, and as the average weekly wage went up, Social Security should have offset their benefits to a greater extent.
But they didn't.
They failed to do it because
the workers were hurt.
Figure.
Yeah. They didn't do, and the workers.
And so they were requesting that the workers pay this back, and they were withholding Social Security benefits.
Even when they waive this, the federal overpayment, you know, put a moratorium on it, the fact was they then started paying the correct entitlement, which was less than what it was, so they were still experiencing a financial adjustment from total income.
So if you're trying to explain this to people, it was very difficult, as you well know. When this hit, it was really tough, because I think every legislator in the state was hit with this problem.
And all of us said, well, we thought it wasn't going to affect too adversely.
And what we're saying is we don't want it to happen again.
Yeah.
Will it happen again if this were to pass? Would you have the same problem? Any like problem?
It could happen.
They are going to see, they're going to be receiving SSA benefits and either PTD benefits or permanent total disability benefits combined before the worker is determined to be permanently totally disabled. That would be those two combined benefits of the SSA and the PTD or PPD, which could be maybe twice what he would receive after we make the computation for the PTD offset. And so they would notice a definite change. Every one of them. And we could even set up so there'd be no overpayments, but they're still going to see a difference because they're receiving. If we were offsetting everything, they wouldn't, because SSA is offsetting everything that they receive on the state side, regardless of what it is.
Right.
But we're just.
Do they get any cost of living increase in anything?
Yes,
how much? How does that work?
I don't know how they figure, but it looks like it's running about 3 to 6%.
3 to 6% cost of living?
Yeah. Annually.
Whose cost of living?
Pardon me, sir?
Whose cost of living is only 3% or 3 to 6%?
I don't know. That's what it looks like with the increases they receive from SSA. I don't know really how they do compute it.
Yeah. Certainly not CPI.
Do you have any further comments, Larry, or not what we can do with the bill? What is your feeling? Let's get the consensus of the opinion. What's your feeling on Social Security offset after disability after age 62? Cliff?
I'd like to leave it alone.
Senator?
Leave it alone.
That's my feeling. What do you think about the Social Security offset? Whether we go on and he's wasting our time if we aren't going to go for it.
Mr. Chairman, I told you before, I'm not in favor of it, and I wasn't in favor of it the last time, and I don't support it.
Okay, then let's forget about it. Thanks, fellas. Now let's go into other... Cliff, we probably need you up here yet, so I wouldn't go away. You like it up here anyhow, I hope. Yeah, then that also... Is that Ian Brewston?
48?
Yeah. 304. 304.
No,
304
was only just
a year. Well, that was only on the Social Security
offset. There's the other part.
There's other parts.
There's only one other part left in it,
yeah.
Senator, you might.
Okay, you want to take us through that, Cliff?
This is Dr. Crothers, I think, isn't it?
Is Crothers here?
Yeah.
Doctor, you want to take us through this?
Chairman, I'm sorry, but I didn't hear how you felt about that last bill.
I was opposed to it. A long time ago, leave alone.
I'm sorry, Chairman.
I'm afraid to. I told labor a long time ago, too. Supervision is the law that I'm opposed to. Is not only the Social Security hospital compromising the week, now it will be a bill.
Well, let's get rid of the other one right now.
It's not in this bill.
Oh, we're good.
Okay.
There's only section 2 remaining in 304, and this is the...
That's the Kalinowski.
Yes.
He isn't here tonight, so shall we forget about that?
How do you feel?
I have a problem with that. Well, I never thought it was a secret, and I thought you knew about it.
Chairman, I apologize to you for asking you that question.
Well, you should.
It was just a terrible thing for me to do, but I sure the hell enjoyed it.
I thought you did. Okay. What about Section 2?
I believe you. Did your staff do some work on this one and thought that there was some problems with it?
We had a problem as far as the legality.
Yeah, we thought that it was too general.
Okay. And I will entertain a motion to table Senate Bill 304.
I so move, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Coulin-Gossie moves that we table Senate Bill 304. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hanlon. Senator Hannon.
Aye.
Senator Smith.
Aye.
Senator Stroll. Senator Wingard.
Aye.
Senator Coulin-Gossie.
Aye.
Senator Groner.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Senator Stroll wants to be probably recorded on the table of Senate Bill 304.
Aye. Okay. Fine. Senator Crow also votes aye. Let's go to Senate Bill 48.
I said two, but we knew he was doing it.
Okay, we had an amendment. Do you have the amendments to Senate Bill 48?
This is Coulin-Gossie's amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Does that repeal the bill?
No, Mr. Chairman, if I could, and I want Senator Hannon, Mr. Senator Hannon, to hear this so he understands this. Senator Wingard last time asked the council to draft an amendment that would repeal the clean closure section of the bill. That section is tied in. There's so many other sections of the statute that when legislative council came and we talked about it, very bluntly, they just said that they did not think they could draft the amendment that would have the effect of repealing just that section because it would repeal so many other sections. At that time, they said that we were talking about the offset, so I have proposed an amendment, and the amendment that you have before you is also a sunset. But if you look at it, what it does, very bluntly, it sunsets the workers' compensation system in this state as of July 1, 1981. I'm going to tell you exactly why I want that, and I'm going to propose that amendment.
The whole system?
The whole system, completely. From beginning to end. Mr. Chairman, I have been here probably the least of any member other than Senator Troll in the legislative process.
Hannon, too.
and Senator Hand, because I was on the staff in 1973, and Senator Hand and Senator Troll. No, Senator Hand was here at that time.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't.
75. So I have, other than those two and Senator Hammond, but Senator Wingard, yourself, and Senator Smith, I think I'm going to be saying things that you know as well as I do. But since I have been involved in the legislative process since 1973, I have dealt with the issue of workers' compensation. There has not been a session that I haven't been here, that I have been here, rather, that we haven't argued of whether, in fact, we're going to attempt to change or reform the workers' compensation system in this state. When I first came up here, I was engaged in the process that we are engaging in tonight. We take a particular section of the statute, and we change the words around, and we do this, and we do that, and we never get to the real policy decision. And as I told you before, that the major policy decisions that I think you're going to have to address very bluntly, and I understand the political implications of this system, cannot be addressed, I think, just in the legislative session. I think that they have to take an interim study. Now, we've also said that since I've been in the legislature. What we do, though, is we approach these things trying to be some sort of a referee or a judge rather than legislators, and we change the words, as I said, and we give this interest group this, and we give that interest group that, and we finally have put together a workers' compensation system that is so expensive as one problem with it, but the other problem is that the two parties that are supposed to benefit from it, the employer and the employee, in blunt terms, are the ones that end up getting screwed out of the system. And it's the only legislative program that I've seen that the parties who it was intended for get the least, and all of the parties on the periphery, whether they're doctors, lawyers, insurance companies, or the bureaucratic agencies, increase and get the benefit. I think, personally, that the major issue is whether, in fact, we should start from ground zero. I have to also understand how we operate in government, that in fact, that if we don't have our backs against the wall and see a deadline, we'll never address the important issue. Now, Mr. Fredericks has a bill in here, and I'm not even going to suggest that we even deal with his bill, because I think his bill stinks, personally, the way it's written. But the concept, the issue he addresses, is the important one, and it's the definition of compensable injury. And we're going to have to make some tough policy decisions one of these days if we want to cover the broad range of employees we're covering. The only way that issue will be addressed, in my opinion, is if, in fact, the people understand we've got to start over. And the amendment that I have proposed is going to sunset the workers' compensation system. Is it a rather drastic amendment? You better believe it is. And is it going to have a substantial impact? You better believe it is. But I happen to believe if it's passed and it becomes the law, the people that are interested in this process are going to sit down finally and they're going to address the hard policy questions. That's the only way that we're ever going to bring about any reform of the system. And very broadly, I'm getting tired, personally, of telling my constituents and having people come to me, say, you're going to work on workers' compensation. I said, oh, sure, go get them, and we'll never do anything. Now, when I say never do anything, Senate Bill 48, I'm going to tell you, if you ask me if it's going to reduce the administrative costs, I think it will. It's going to streamline the system? Sure it will. 1050 did. Ask me if I think it's going to reduce the rates substantially. No, because we're a very expensive process that we're engaged in. And I would suggest that we either address the issue, that we either put up or shut up. If we like the existing system and we want to keep it, quit complaining about the cost, because it's just expensive. If you really want to reduce the cost and you want to get a different system, let's get on with it. And this is the way I think we can address that problem. I think it's in the public interest if we do sunset this system to get these people out here to really start working on workers' comp reform.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Smith.
Well, I understand the frustration of the newcomers to this process.
Love it.
But I think the point is that we're not going to revise workers' compensation until people who are affected by it become frustrated as well that they seek changes in the people that represent them. And I suppose that's a problem with democracy. It's a very expensive process, and maybe changes are slow to come, but they always do manage to come. So sunsetting the whole question of workman's comp puts the question back again on the same people that are making the decisions now. And I suggest to you that that will be any better or any worse than what we have before us and the decision makers that are sitting at this table. So I think I don't see any purpose in sunsetting, and I don't think we're going to have any changes to workman compensation. Never have thought so since I sat down here January 9th. So I'm not disappointed because I never expected anything. And I think when people decide that they're going to have to take matters into their hands, they're going to start asking serious, direct questions about people who run for office and who are the decision makers. And at that point, and not until then, are there going to be any changes?
Well, I think that two years ago, we made substantial changes in the workers' compensation law, which it takes a period of 3 years before it's actually the results are shown. Also, as Senate Bill 48, and I think if Roy Green was here, I don't know if you had the statistics on it, but estimated that it will reduce the cost by 1%, allowing carrier closure.
Can we make a little wager about Senate Bill 48, Mr. Chairman?
In what respect?
Survival during this session.
Yeah. If I'm sure if it gets to the floor of the Senate, it depends on what you want to do there in this committee.
My boy, I don't think Senator Smith's worried about it in the Senate.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I've heard that Representative Crest, who's chairing the House Labor Committee, is working on massive reforms. He's hired some attorneys, and they're going to work to overhaul the system. Isn't that the case? That's what I heard. How's that coming?
It's a laugh.
Well, I thought it probably was too, Representative Smith, or Senator Smith.
This is your first session.
I don't want to go back to the House either.
He said he's going to claim he's going to save 30%.
Yeah. Well, how's he coming? Anybody know?
I don't think you have to ask Carl.
He's coming along well.
Is he? What does that mean?
Oh, on his bill? I have no idea.
I just saw him a few minutes ago. He was doing well.
He's happy about his health, I saw him.
Go ahead. That was awesome, huh?
I'm glad to know about his health. Otherwise, we can't count on that, so we better sunset it.
Do you want to move the adoption of your amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just one other thing, and I agree that with the extreme legislators, you know, that one of the things that the chairman, that I find out that as we've been here a longer time, that not only do our skins get thicker, but other parts of our anatomy get harder and harder to deal with these issues. And the problem, and I'm going to tell you what I am absolutely convinced of, and this is, I'm going to tell you the bias I have. I happen to believe, contrary to everybody's statements about the level of benefits, that in the area of permanent partial disability and scheduled disabilities, I think they're a crime. I think they're a crime to the working people of the state to tell a person who has lost his arm or leg, you get $16,000 and you walk away. And that's it. It's really not justice. But I also recognize the political process that not one of us can come out here and increase the benefits at a time when the cost of workers' comp premiums are spiraling in certain classifications. I recognize that. And I am convinced that the workers will never get justice and get what they should be entitled to unless the issues that I talked about earlier are addressed. If you ask me what I'd like to do, you'd better believe it. I'd like to increase the benefits because I think that's the fairness of the system. But the fact is, we're not going to do it under our existing system because I just don't believe that we could politically increase the benefits to a level that can that compensate these people and still retain this present system.
I think the benefits, is, besides permanent partial disability, are adequate. Well, they're tied to the cost of living. We did this in 1973-75 session, and I don't think there's any state that's does much better than we do in that instance, except permanent partial disability. I think our benefits are in good shape in this state.
Mr. Chairman, the problem with that analogy is you're comparing it to the other states. In other words, if the other states were zero, if we gave $10, we'd be doing good. The fact is that whether I personally, it's my own personal opinion, I happen to believe that on time loss, the claimant should get 100% of his wage. That's my own personal opinion. The fairness of the system is that. But I understand the limitations in doing that. That we can adjust that if that's the problem that you have. I have no problem saying it's tax-free to him. That's my own personal opinion. But the fact is, I know we're not going to get to that system until we have a system that is cost-effective and we make some tough policy decisions on just what we want to do with it. You know, the issue is, do you want to cover heart attacks? Do you want to cover all the other injuries that we cover under this system? You know, it isn't a question of whether these people should be compensated.
Mr. Chairman,
the question is whether the workers' compensation system should be compensating them.
Senator Wingard.
I don't know. We probably have time, Senator Kulongoski, to write a bill that says we're going to increase the rates as you see them inequitable, and we're going to reduce entry into the system. Why can't we do that? We've got time to do that.
No.
You have one draft
saying, we've got time to do that.
The problem with the definition of compensable injury, Senator Wingard, is the fact that it's a tough policy decision on what you do with the people that fall into that.
Well,
and the trouble is no one will address the issue.
If you're willing, though, to trade those two, if you're willing to trade entry into the system for increasing the benefits, I'm with you, and I'm willing to sit down in the subcommittee and work it out.
And, Senator Wingard, I want to put together a committee, and I hope the governor proceeds with his task force to address those issues. The very problem you have with addressing the issue of compensable in the definition, no one's looked at it. I'm not convinced in my own mind that right now I could sit here in 2 months with you and come up with a definition. I do know this. I think it's the major policy question you have to address. There are an awful lot of people in this state that could come together that address all of these issues, but no one does. We keep dealing with the issues that we're dealing with in this committee, and the only way it's going to be done is in an interim period, and that's what I think that this amendment does. It tells them those are the issues you address.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm here today, and I may not be here tomorrow. I'm willing to take this thing head on. If we want to have a subcommittee...
Is that the wishes of the committee? We have a subcommittee. I'm going to appoint Wingard.
Chairman, my wishes are to move the Kulongoski amendment. I move it.
Okay, he moves the question.
I'm the question.
Senator, Kulongoski made the motion.
He already made.
Calling for the question.
I'll call for the question. Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me.
The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hanlon. Senator Hannon.
Aye.
Senator Smith.
No.
Senator Troll.
Aye.
Senator Wingard.
Well, how do the rest of you feel?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it really doesn't matter.
Senator Kulongoski?
Aye.
Senator Broner?
No.
There you are, George.
George?
It's up to you, George.
You know, I was almost through Wally Priestley out of the House of Representatives, and somebody came to my aid. You know who it was? Rich Kennedy. He moved for a 5-minute recess. Do you want one?
No, I don't need one.
I was going to throw Wally Priestley out.
Who's going to help you?
Well, I had a quarterback from the University of Oregon, Sergeant at Arms.
You want to have a 2-minute, 3-minute, 4-minute recess?
No, I don't need a recess.
No.
Okay, the motion has failed.
And I explain my vote, Mr. Chairman. That can be worked out right now if you want to work it out. I don't see any reason to try to postpone. I think that's evading the issue. The facts are here, the intelligence is here, the ability is here to work this situation out. If there's a willingness on this committee to work out those trade-offs, I think we all understand them. It's a matter of entry into the system versus benefits paid. And I'm willing to work it out right here in this committee.
I'm willing to listen to anyone. Senator Krumgoski, if you have anything, and I think we've listened to you in every proposal you've had, you've had every consideration.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I think you're doing just a fine job. I really do.
So, and if you have anything, any input, you're certainly in making any changes. I don't think at any time, and you were in the House, I think you chaired the committee 2 years ago.
Yeah, I did, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have no qualms about admitting to you at all that the issue of the redefinition of compensable injury is personally beyond my ability sitting individually here, and I think it's beyond the ability of any individual here until we get a study by some people who have looked at this issue and will address it. And that's what I want. And I am willing to, if you in fact want to put together, and I would hope, Mr. Chairman, that in light of the fact that we're not going to put this amendment into the bill, that during the, we suggest as a task force, if that's what we have to have during the interim, to address specific issues and to come back to the legislature to address these specific issues rather than the broad charge of reviewing the workers' compensation system, but pick out specific issues to deal with.
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think that's a good idea. We ought to make that
I'm sure we will have a task force, right. I'm willing to do that.
What other amendments do we have before you?
We had the... Who went to Legislative Council as far as Senator Wingard's proposal was for sunsetting?
I did.
Is this the only thing they had to offer?
They said that the problem with sunsetting, just that provision, it's tied to so many other sections of the bill that, in fact, Judge, you would have ended up sunsetting half of the workers' compensation system. And I just need the total route. I actually, Judge, what I'm trying to tell you is you gave me the idea. Do you want to give me anything else?
Any other way you can help?
I see the deal with Fabler.
Thanks. That's the only thing, guys, you said all night that's offended me.
You know I don't believe anything I say.
Okay, Dr. Crothers, do you want to... Do you want to go to Section 31 in this bill?
Related
to the penalties against doctors?
I thought we did that.
No, we already did that.
Section 31 is not...
There were only three people here at the time.
Senator, Mr. Chairman, if I may, Section 30 previously was adopted by this committee, my understanding, and there was a quorum at that time, and you changed the penalty as proposed by us not to exceed $200 to $1,000 for each occurrence.
Right.
And that particular section was adopted by this committee. Section 31 that was proposed last time was not adopted by this committee because there were three members present having to do with amending ORS 656-745 to assess a penalty against an insurer who improperly closes or issues a notice of time off.
That's part of Section 31 also.
This is Section 31. Section 30 is the amending ORS 656-254, which assesses a penalty against the doctor. Mm-hmm. Section 31 is amending ORS 656-745, which is assessing a penalty against the insurer who improperly processes a claim or improperly issues notice of closure on a claim pursuant to ORS 656.
Section 31. Okay, Senator Smith moves we adopt Section 31. Are there any objections? Hearing none, it is so ordered. What was the other amendment?
That was all.
That's all of it?
Yes. You previously adopted the amendment
All the amendments to the bill. Do you want
move
to?
It up.
Okay, Senator Smith moves Senate Bill 48 to the floor with a due pass of amendment. The clerk will call the roll. As amended.
Mr. Chairman, before we do, can I ask one question?
Yes.
Of Mr. Allison. Mr. Allison, I have a list of the sections that you've identified as the sections that you're transferring the authority of the Workers' Compensation Board over to the department. And I just want to understand what they are, if I could, before we move on this. It's section 25 of the bill. And there's an exhibit, by the way, if you would look at it.
Oh, yes?
Where's the exhibit?
It's an exhibit like this. It's just a list of series of statutes. And I asked the Workers' Compensation Board, so I have the committee understand exactly what you're doing. Well, the duties, functions, and power, and by the way, I'm looking on page 15, section 25. Page 15, section 25, line 32. The duties, functions, and powers of the Workers' Compensation Board provided in OS, and they list a series of sections of the statute, and I asked them to provide this list to us to tell us what we're being transferred. Cliff, the first question I ask, who's performing those duties, functions, and powers at this time?
I don't have my list, Senator. Could I borrow yours?
Sure. What page are you on again?
Sorry. It's right below my sunset amendment that I put in. I mean, I'm sorry, on page 15.
You said 15 last time. Okay.
15.
All right.
Section 25, line 32.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure that we all understood the powers and duties and functions that are being transferred. And my first question to you, Cliff, who performs those functions, duties, and powers at this particular time?
Most of the duties are performed by the director of the department at the present time. However, in some of the instances, the rules are adopted by the board. For example, the Social Security office, the board has the rulemaking authority. However, they've delegated that responsibility to carry out that function to the department. You gave me the wrong
one. I gave you the wrong one, I guess.
Yeah, you sure did. You gave me the wrong one, too.
Which one, George?
I want the other one. This one doesn't even relate to those particular functions.
Thank you. All right. There's two lists of statutes.
Right.
Are we looking at the document dated April 3rd?
Cliff, is that listed April 3rd?
Yes.
That's correct.
Where'd you find yours?
In the book.
Some of these are inadvertently were not transferred last time. It remained the board and would have been transferred to the department. As example, 654160.
It's before the bill.
Before the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have it. I don't want anybody challenging
me. We tabled.
Let me see. Is there any opposition to the transfer of these?
Why don't you read them? You have them. I don't have them. Why don't you just read them to us, Senator? What those functions are. I think it's important what you're saying. I'd like to know what those functions are. You don't have them either.
I just gave you my copy.
Yeah,
yes.
Max, that's
Congress.
Here's my copy.
Thank you. The first one is ORS 654.160, which states that applicability of ORS 654.150, sanitary facilities and construction projects, standards, exemptions to be included in contracts, liability for cost of compliance. Who does that?
The director. Department.
Okay. 656206, permanent total disability.
Okay. We have two methods of reevaluating an award that's permanent total.
Pardon?
The Workers' Compensation Board has a rule procedure which required, the last legislation passed a law requiring permanent totals to be reevaluated every 2 years. This is done under the rules of the Workers' Compensation Board. However, the evaluation division of the department prepares the record, obtains the information, and makes a recommendation to the Workers' Compensation Board for their decision in this area. The offsetting of permit totals,
Let me ask you.
Senate Bill 371.
Could you come up here? Keith, do you have any objections to 656-206 going over?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Permit totals, I mean, the offsetting of Social Security might point out.
Can you just take a look at that entire list, Cliff, and then tell us if there are any that you object to?
Judge, do you have the copy now?
Do you object to any one of them? Are you familiar with all of them? Do you object to any of them going over? Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Wingard, do you have the list now?
Yes, I
do. That's what you wanted to go through?
Right. Yeah, I just want to go through them. I'd like to know what I'm doing.
Senate Bill 371 that you passed here was amended over there, transferring these functions to the department director, and we'll be coming back, I understand, to the Senate for confirmation on that area. 656-230, this is done. The board has established rules. However, this is handled by the Compliance Division of the Workers' Compensation Department, where an individual applies for a lump sum award which exceeds 32 degrees.
That's an interesting question. There is a bill relating to a payoff on these things. Is this sort of a payoff provision that can be instituted?
I don't understand what you mean by payoff.
This isn't compromise and release. This is an advance payment of an award that's made. They can apply and justify receiving it in advance rather than in installments if they have a legitimate need
for all of them. That's different than the other bill that we have that talks.
We've had this program for forever, but it's always
okay. Thank you.
Okay. The 656-330, the Disability Prevention Service. This was actually, we believe, an administrative oversight. It should have been the department to begin with, rather than the Workers' Compensation Board. This was under the Field Service Division. And it's early recognition and contact, and the board did adopt the rules delegating this responsibility to the department. But this was definitely 656-440. This has to deal with the insurance companies, and this should be, we feel, under the director of the Workers' Compensation Department. And also likewise 656-447, which is sanctions against insurance companies. And as I pointed out, 656-727 and 209 are related. They have both had to do with the Social Security offset, and they're tied in with Senate Bill 371, and this is a function the department is presently doing under the rules of the Workers' Compensation Board.
Thank you.
Question?
Yes. Mr. Chairman. Okay. Mr. Chairman, the bill is going to be sent out to be, I hope, engrossed. And
yes.
Could I get an understanding from the committee? There are so many amendments in this right now. I follow them, but I would like that before you would sign the committee report,
good idea,
that the committee members be given an opportunity to look at the full bill before it's sent to the floor in case there's any concerns.
Good idea. Would you have it go ahead and see that it is engrossed before it goes to the floor?
And Mr. Chairman, we bring it back to the committee and have us look at it.
Well, you want to pass it out?
You want to pass it out?
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Okay, look at it.
Senator Smith has moved Senate Bill 48 to the floor. To the floor with a due pass recommendation. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hanlon, Senator Hannon.
Aye.
Senator Smith. Senator Troll.
Aye.
Senator Wingard.
Aye.
Senator Kunigas.
Aye.
Senator Groner.
Aye.
Okay, the measure is passed. Is there anything else to come before this committee?
You don't want to do any more bills?
No. We are adjourned.